following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Well, good morning, Refuge. It is 7:30 here at the hall where we always gather, but there's not many of us here. Pastor Alan is here, and Pastor Jeff is here, and Josh is in the back keeping all this coming to you, and we're so thankful for that. Hey, I know that a lot of you have been wearing these and different versions of these. I saw one of our sisters yesterday while I was walking. I didn't recognize her, but she said, "Pastor Bill," as I passed by, and we had a little moment of fellowship there on the sidewalk. But even if you're wearing those, and you should if you're in a place where you're either fearful of or being infected or infecting somebody else, by all means, take the measures that you need. But you might not have the mask, but make sure you have your sword. Make sure you're keeping yourself in the Word of God, and God's going to enrich you in that. I want to read something to you, and then I'm going to pray and turn it over to Michael, who's going to lead worship for us. And you know what? I did this last night. I'm going to do this every service today while the worship is going on online there, and you're hopefully entering in and engaging, singing out loud wherever you are. I'm going to walk around this hall and pray for you where I remember you sitting in these seats, and just praying that God will bless you as you're in the chair at home. So gather around that big screen where you already are and listen to this. It's from Isaiah 54, and it's verse 10, and it was what the Lord said through Isaiah after he told them very, very tough times were coming that the people would have to live through. And he reminded them of this. Every individual, grab this. "For the mountains may move and the hills disappear, but even then my faithful love for you will remain. My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord who has mercy on you." He's with you. He's with us. We gather differently than ever before, like the church all over the world. But let's pray right now and prepare our hearts to bless him in our praise and to hear from him in the word, as Pastor Jeff's going to bring that. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the technology that lets us do this right now, Father, so we can actually see one another and talk to one another in different platforms online. We thank you so much for that, Father. And I pray for the people of Refuge that you would touch them, bless them, heal those that need to be healed, and raise them up, Father God. We honor you that even though the mountains around us might shake and systems might fall around us, even invasions like this, Lord, we will not be moved because you are with us, Lord. Your faithful love will endure forever. So right now, Father, we come to you, we open our hearts, we lift up our voices to you now in praise and adoration and worship in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Let's worship him together.
I was just saying, it's good for us to do this, and that is to sing those songs. And you've probably heard some of us say, hey, you know, when you're at home or wherever you're at on your device or streaming this on your TV, whatever, telling you, you know, to sing, and you think, oh, you know, I'm not really into the group exercise thing and, you know, everyone doing, you know, the same or what have you. But it's important for you. It's important for me to sing praises, to proclaim that. The Lord doesn't need it. We always need to remember that. It's not like he has got a lack and I need a little bit more encouragement, need a little bit more praise from you. It's for me. It's for you. And so it's good for my soul. It's good for your soul. And you think, well, I'm just sitting by myself. You know, I'm at my kitchen counter with my phone watching this. All right, I get that, but it's still good for you to sing these songs, to say them. You say, I don't have a good voice. Okay, then just talk the words. But it's good for you. It's good for your soul. So I encourage you to do that. And just take advantage of that blessing the Lord has provided for you during this time. Other blessings I want to tell you about, Fireside Chats being one of those, to take advantage of those. We're running those Monday through Friday at 12, right here on our sanctuary stage. 15-minute word of encouragement for you, different pastors sharing what the Lord has put in their heart, kind of a timely word for you on that particular day. So that is there for you, as also is our prayer team. And when I say team, I mean that in the literal sense. We have, of course, our pastors available for you to call the church office. If there's no one to take it immediately, we will get a message and call you back. And also, we have a prayer chain, an electronic prayer chain of warriors, and they will pray for you, men and women warriors that want to pray for you at this time. And so you can email that prayer chain at any time as well. It's prayerwarriors@refugefamily.com. So just as the Bible says that prayer accomplishes much or avails much, I'd encourage you to avail yourself of that particular blessing of others praying for you. And especially, and I think a lot of us have heavy hearts for those that right now their hours have been cut or eliminated. And just, you know, driving here this morning to do the streaming, as I'm driving by and seeing all these restaurants, and that's what really just hit me hard. And I'm thinking there's so many that work in these places. They're cooks, they're, you know, sous chefs, they're hostesses and hosts and servers and such. And it's not just the food industry, but I think, man, they're not working. And Lord, help them, provide for them. And so we want to pray for you with that. We also want to be there to help with food too. And so on Monday and Tuesday for the Refuge family at 11 a.m., we take that hour, 11 to 12, and have food distribution just for the Refuge family. And so it's for you. So avail yourself of that blessing and other things that God is providing at this time. I was listening to Dave Ramsey recently, and he is putting out some really good, helpful hints for folks that are kind of struggling financially right now. And it's good stuff. A lot of principles from our FPU class and things that are pertinent to this time, this season, right now. And then certainly links on what's available, on what our government is doing to try to help out in this time. And that's for you as well. And I know not everybody needs that right now, praise the Lord, but for those that do, it's there. And so that would lead me to the last thing I'd want to share with you. For those of us that can still, you know, give at this time, we want to, and the Lord's provided, so we can do that. Refuge is providing different ways to make that simple. So one of which, really simple, is a check in the mail, so that still works. Our website, refugefamily.com/give, or just go to the website, and it'll direct you from there on how to get to that giving page. Our Refuge app, of course, does the same thing. And then new to this mix right now is to give by way of text, something that we have been just kind of waiting for the right platform to do it on. And so we have that available. You can find out more about that on our website. But it'll basically just be putting in your phone, the phone number that we provide, and then you just text the word give. Once you set that up, it becomes very simple thereafter. So I've tried, it seems to work really, really well. So we have that there for you. And so avail yourself of all these blessings. And our next blessing on tap is going to be for Pastor Jeff to bring us a word. How are we looking, Jeff? We got... We're going to lose signal for a second, so don't go away. And by the way, if you still hear me, those of you that have heard this many times, forgive me. But because we have a variety of platforms, we have three platforms. We have the Refuge app, we have the Refuge website, and Facebook. And if ever one of those drops off because of a lot of traffic, good to know that there's other platforms so you can switch over to that. So as we try to work through our end here on the technical side, help our brother Josh dial it in. While he's doing that, a couple other things real quickly. We are working on some really creative ways to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And probably next weekend, Pastor Bill will fill you in on some of those creative ideas that we'll have to make it special. And of course, it is special already. Jesus rose from the dead. We understand that, but we want to just honor him in a special way for conquering death and what that means to us. That is the essence of the gospel, Jesus dying for us and rising from the dead. So you'll be hearing more about that. And are we ready? All right. So Pastor Jeff, take it away, brother.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning to y'all. Thanks for your patience and waiting through that. Hey, would you just stand and say hi to someone? No, I was kidding. Don't do that. But thanks for inviting us into your home this weekend. We are excited to be a part of your home fellowship and your worship, whatever that may look like. I was thinking, what does that look like on as you take all the people who are typically here on a Sunday morning, and what does their home worship time look like? And I loved what Pastor Allen had said about worshiping, singing out loud. Make sure we're doing that. Just a couple things real quick. I think we've already mentioned a couple times, three ways to be online with us is refugefamily.com, the Refuge app, and you can see us on Refuge Facebook. Here's one of the cool features about the Refuge Facebook is that there's a little tag on there that says Watch Party. And you can actually accidentally, by pushing that button, invite people to church who are on Facebook while you're on Facebook. All your friends list, they'll get an invite. If they're scrolling by your name, they'll see that you've invited them to join you on Facebook. And so you could accidentally this morning invite someone to come to Refuge service with you. And so look for that tag. It says Watch Party and invite them to come along. A couple things before I dive into the Word, just some personal things that the Lord has been speaking to me, and actually I saw this earlier on this week, and I thought I'd share it with y'all, and here's those things. As things and maybe some stresses and anxieties start to mount up, maybe because of job issues, maybe because of family situations and things that are going on, there's some things that you can do, and there are things that we could do on a normal basis all the time. But oftentimes we'll forget these things. And so I made a list here for us this morning. And here's just a couple things. And some of them maybe you're already doing, and maybe them are self-explanatory. But sometimes it helps to create the list and for us to kind of look down that list and say, maybe I could use this right now. So number one, maintain as many normal routines while honoring social distancing. Maintain some normal things that you would do in life during this season. And obviously, please maintain social distancing and all you can stay home, but see if you can't maintain some of those same normal routines. Connect with family and friends. Make phone calls. Talk to them. Spend time with them on Zoom or on whatever other social media platform you can, but connect with them. Eat well. You're saying, yes, of course, eat well, but that can often affect our mentality and what we're thinking. Stay active. Get out and exercise as much as you can. Get adequate rest. I know that can be hard sometimes, especially if there's some anxiety or worry, but you need that rest. It in some ways, it resets your mind. It recharges your mind for the next day, so make sure you're getting adequate rest. Do enjoyable activities. What are you looking forward to doing today? Probably coming to church, which is awesome. Spending time with the Lord, awesome. But what are some other things maybe that I could look forward to down the line? What are some enjoyable activities? Here in this season, like no other, spend more time with the Lord. Spend time in the Word. Spend time praying. Spend time building the relationship with the Lord. And the last one, support each other. I think in this season, as maybe we become insular, we start thinking about ourselves, it's one of the best things you can do is think about someone else. Support someone else in this season. And actually, there's two things I want to say to that. Number one, what are opportunities that you have to help other people? Here's my challenge for you this week. Find 5 to 10 people, make a list, and say, I'm going to call these people this week. That's my commitment. I'm going to find 5 or 10 people, maybe people the Lord has put on my heart, and I'm going to call them this week. And here's what I'm going to ask them. 3 questions. Do you need anything? Is there anything physical that you need? Do you need eggs? Do you need toilet paper? What do you need? Can I provide that for you? Second thing, how can I pray for you? Maybe you don't need anything physical. Maybe you don't need me to go get you something, but maybe you just need prayer this morning or tonight. And say, listen, how can I be praying for you? And the last one, I think is such a huge question, is what is God doing inside of you this season? What is God doing inside of you this season? Hey, is there anything I can get for you? How can I be praying for you? And would you share with me, what is God doing inside of you this season? These are opportunities we have to connect with those people. The challenge is write down 5 to 10 names and connect with them on a little bit deeper level this week. The last thing I would say in reaching out to other people, and actually this is for yourself. It's saying this, What is overwhelming me right now? What is overwhelming me right now that I should ask someone to help me? What's maybe become such a burden to me that I really just at this point need to reach out? Sometimes I think what can happen in seasons like this is as we are literally locked in, and we can also become emotionally and maybe even spiritually locked in, that we don't call out to someone else. Maybe we're asking the Lord for help, but we're not reaching out to someone who can help us in this season. And so my encouragement maybe this week is that you'd find that person or that group of people that you can reach out to and just say, hey, this has become a burden for me. Would you help me carry that burden? I want to pray now as we're going to turn our attention to the Lord and to His Word. But I want to pray for a couple things. I want to pray against the virus. I want to pray for those who are ill, some even in refuge. I want to pray for doctors and nurses on the front lines. I want to pray for those that are maintaining the, I just thought of the mailman and the mail women this week, that they are in some ways representative of an infrastructure that's continuing to go and putting themselves on the line to keep the country moving forward. I want to pray for them, and I want to pray for our government and the people who are making these decisions. And so would you join with me now in prayer before we turn our attention over to God's Word? Lord, first and foremost, we pray against this virus. God, have mercy on us. Lord, I pray for your grace to be extended upon us. Lord, we believe in the power of your name, and we believe that you could stop it. Lord, we pray against this virus even today, even this morning. Lord, we pray for those who have fallen ill. We pray for those that are in the hospitals right now. Lord, we pray that you would just sustain their lives, that you would heal them and you'd bring them back, that you'd restore their health to them again. Lord, we lift up doctors and nurses. Lord, thank you for their profession. Thank you for who they are. Lord, in all different walks of life, reaching out to people. Lord, would you sustain them in these moments? They are in so many ways on the front lines of this war. Lord, every day waking up and going into work. Lord, would you sustain them? Would you keep them? Lord, if those that have fallen ill themselves, Lord, I pray you'd heal them. Bring them back, Lord, to that place again of being restoration for others. Lord, we pray for those that make up the infrastructure of our country. I do think of mailmen. I think of people who are even working in the grocery stores right now, maybe who even have a little bit of fear of going to work every day, and yet, Lord, they're continuing to do it. Would you keep them as well? Lord, would you just sustain them as well? Lord, I pray for our government, those that are making these big decisions. Lord, would you inform them with wisdom instead of politics? Lord, that would not be about politics, but instead, Lord, would be about wisdom and what is best for the people. Would you raise up those people in this season, Lord, to minister to the people of this country, of this state? Lord, would you just reach out, Lord, and touch the government right now, Lord? Lord, and I pray for the church. I pray for refuge as the church as we move forward in these days, for your wisdom and your guidance and your direction. Lord, we want to be available for all that you would have us to be. Lord, I pray for the Big C Church, the global church. Lord, in this time, like maybe no other, would you cause us to shine bright into the darkness? Lord, would we be a source and a beacon of hope, Lord, of faith and of trust in you? Lord, we ask this in Jesus' mighty, powerful name. Lord, where we feel like maybe we are weak to perform these tasks, Lord, I pray that you would make us strong, Lord, not only for ourselves or for our families, but for the world around us. Would you strengthen us for this season? God, we turn our attention to you this morning in your word. Lord, I know that the room is empty, but Lord, here's what's not empty. Lord, the work of your Spirit, Lord, in each one of our homes or wherever we're watching or listening today, Lord, the power of the Spirit is what dwells inside of us. And so would you strengthen us today by the power of your Holy Spirit? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One of the absolute privileges as a father, as a mother, as a parent, is when your son or daughter comes to you and they ask for help. Mom, Dad, will you help me with this? Would you help me with my homework? We're getting that quite frequently in the Wilson home. Would you help me with my homework? Maybe mom gets the question or dad gets the question, will you help me cooking? I want to put this recipe together. Will you help me? This one I will never get. Dad, will you help me work on the car? I know nothing about cars. But here, when that son comes to the father and says, hey, will you help me work on my car? There's that feeling of like, yes, yes. Getting to the, this one I do get. Will you help me get to the next level on that video game? Whatever that might be. Would you help me get, I can't do it. I've been trying. I can't do it. Would you help me, Dad? Putting that Lego set together at Christmas. Oh, fond memories of my son getting Legos. And at the eight, and I was buying him Legos that he couldn't put together, so I could secretly put them together. But he would get out that we called them the menus with the instructions, and he would try to put them together, and he could never do it at that time. And I'd get the opportunity to, he and I work together, and he would say, listen, look, Dad, would you help me? Maybe a little later on, my kids aren't here yet, but would you help me in my relationship? I need relationship advice. Would you just sit on the bed and would you talk to me about this relationship I need help with? They come to a point where they've exasperated all the possibilities. And they come to this point where their abilities are maxed out. And then they come to you and they say, I need you. I need you. They come to the end of what they are able to do, and now they're looking for help outside of themselves. There's something special about that moment. And I will just say, in many times throughout the last couple of weeks, that's been me. I'm tired. I'm worn out in my strength of what I can do as I've wrestled with what could happen and what's going on with this virus. And I get worn. I wear myself out. My energy is zapped. It's heavy. As I thought a lot of times about the doctors and nurses and what they're going through. In some ways it's zapped me because I feel the burden for them. And oftentimes I think sometimes we try to run and fill in the gaps ourselves and we try to figure things out. And I think what we have in this circumstance is much like my kids. I love when they call on me. I think we have a Heavenly Father that says, Jeff, call on me. Dad, I need help. Father, I need help. Would you come and would you minister to my spirit in this season? And I believe with all my heart that God delights in that moment. The moment you and I get tired of running and running and running and try to exercise all of our options. And in that moment when we say, I can't do this anymore. I'm mentally tired. My energy is zapped. And Father, would you come and minister to my spirit? I believe he delights in that moment. The moment you turn your attention to him and say, Dad, I need help. Father in heaven, I need help. Today, we're going to look at a man who was so wrapped up in fear, hiding away. And all God was saying is, listen, I want to use you. I want to use you powerfully. But you have to turn your attention to me. Your focus has to go away from your circumstance and away from you personally. And it's in that moment that when you turn your attention to your Heavenly Father and you say, Dad, I need help. I can't do this by myself, that I will rush to your side and I will use you for the purpose that I have planned for you. This person that we're going to talk about this morning is Gideon, and he's found in Judges chapter 6. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 6. And as you're turning there, Judges chapter 6, verse 11 is where we're going to be. I want to talk to you about Judges 6, 1 through 10. What's gone on in our text prior to us getting to Judges chapter 6, verse 11, and the story of Gideon? Here's what's happened in with the people of the Lord. Gideon is an Israelite. Israel at that time had turned their backs on the Lord. They had worshipped other gods. The Bible says they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And what they had done is broken covenant with the living God. And it says that God turned them over to the Midianites for 7 years. 7 years, he said, listen, you are going to be in the presence of these other people. And at the time, Midianite took advantage of Israel. The Midianites so took advantage of Israel that it forced them out of their homes and then into the cliffs and into the valleys and into the caves. And they were hiding away. The people of God, God's chosen people, couldn't even be in their homes. Instead, they had to hide away in the cliffs. They made their homes in caves. That's how bad it had gotten. The Bible goes on to tell us that, the Israelites would come, the people of Israel would come, and they would plant it in their fields. They would harvest their field, or they'd plant in their fields. And when they came to harvest, the Midianites, before the Israelites could get there, would come and take all the entire harvest. So there was nothing left for Israel. In fact, they would even take their sheep and their cattle and their donkeys. They would rob them of all their livestock. There was nothing left for Israel. The Bible describes the image like this, like locusts or grasshoppers coming to take over the entire land and ravage the land before Israel could get to their own land. Now, God had brought them into this land to honor them as his children, right? His people. And it was going to be a land flowing with milk and honey. But at this point, they had turned their backs on God. And now they're living in poverty, hiding away. God then sends an unnamed prophet to remind them about who they are, what he had done in their history in saving them and redeeming them out of Egypt, and how they had turned their backs on him. Enter our man for this morning, Judges chapter 6, verse 11, looking at the context of where Israel is at right now, hiding away. God comes and speaks to Gideon. Look at verse 11 of chapter 6. It says this, "The angel of the Lord, who later we find out is the Lord himself, came and sat down under the oak at Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites." Remember, we had talked about Midian coming and taking all their food, and now he's threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. "When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.'" You see, in this moment, fear for Gideon is greater than faith. Fear is greater than faith. How do we know that? Well, he's threshing wheat in a wine press. To give you an idea of what that may look like, the picture here on your screen, top left is a place where they would thresh the wheat. That is like a threshing floor, the place where they would come and they would use cows to trample on the wheat. And oftentimes these places were higher up in elevation so that the wind could take the chaff, the part of the wheat they didn't need, and it would take it away. The wind would blow it away. You can kind of see in this picture, it's up high and probably well seen from all around. And this is a bountiful harvest of wheat on the picture here. And you can see that they're working to get that wheat separated. But that's not where Gideon is in this moment. Instead, he's down in the wine press, the picture you see below. He's hiding away in a wine press, and he's not doing anything with wine in the wine press. Instead, he's threshing what little wheat that he probably could harvest. He's threshing that wheat for his family. The Bible says he's hiding away from the Midianites. He's doing all he can to provide for his family because the times have become extremely difficult. And in fact, what was once faith for the people have now turned to fear. They're hiding from Midian, even though they are the children of God. Maybe some of you feel like that over the last couple of weeks, hiding away in our houses on lockdown, stocking up, trying to protect what you have. I think about toilet paper and the need and the craziness to try to get the toilet paper. And if I'm shopping and there's one roll, it feels like I've reached some level of gold. I've found gold in the hills. And instead, listen, this is kind of the feel of Gideon at the time. He's out shopping, as you can imagine. He finds that little bit of wheat, and he's like, "I've got to grab this wheat. I've got to hide. I've got to hide it, and I've got to just get as much as I can out of it for my family. And so I'm going to go to the wine press, and I'm going to hide away in the wine press." Check this out, though. Here's the irony of this whole entire movement in Scripture. Gideon is hiding away from the Midianites, and yet the Lord comes to him. The Lord chooses him, and he says to him, listen to what he says in verse 12, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Come again? What does it say? It says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." I can only imagine at this moment, Gideon and probably all the people of Israel feel like anything but mighty warriors. Their faith and their strength has left them. They were hiding in hills, in caves they were living in. They were knocked down and on lockdown. I imagine they were so afraid, and for God to come to Gideon and say to him as he's in the wine press, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Here's why I believe the Lord can do that, because the Lord sees something in Gideon that he doesn't see in himself. Let me say that again. The reason the Lord can come to Gideon in this moment is that the Lord sees something in Gideon that Gideon doesn't see in himself. We are oftentimes overwhelmed by the circumstances. Gideon in this moment is overwhelmed by his circumstances. However, God says, "I have a bigger purpose and a bigger view of who you are, Gideon. You are my mighty warrior. Right now, when fear has overtaken you, I still have a purpose for you." I believe with all my heart that today, this morning, I believe he would speak that over you today. He would say, "Mom, Dad, in your home, you may have some fear and anxiety about the time and the circumstances that you're living in, but he says, listen, you're a mighty warrior in my name, in my eyes. Young lady, young man, I'm with you. You are mighty warriors." Business owner feeling the burden of the season and what could happen and maybe what is already starting to happen, he would say, "Listen, you're a mighty warrior in my name." Doctors and nurses on the front lines, he would say, "You are my mighty warriors. As you go out in my name, you are my mighty warriors." Right now in this season, you might not be feeling so mighty. You're in the wine press. Gideon is in the wine press, and he is not feeling mighty at all, and yet God still speaks this title over him. He says, "Listen, you are my mighty warrior." And even if your rhythms have all been thrown off, your finances have all been thrown off, God would still speak this into you. He says, "Jeff, I still have a purpose for you. Jeff, you're still a mighty warrior. You may be feeling more fear than faith. You may be feeling more fear than fight, but know that God is with you in this moment in the same way he's with Gideon and speaks this title over Gideon. He speaks this title over his kids, his sons, and his daughters. He says, "Listen, I'm going to use you. I've got a purpose for you. I've got a plan for you. I will strengthen you." Then Gideon says what could be the least mightiest thing he could possibly say to the living God. The least faithful thing he could possibly say, he says next in Judges chapter 6, verse 13. Look what it says. "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and has given us into the hand of Midian." Listen, Gideon's fear turned into faithlessness. Gideon's fear turned into faithlessness. What started out as fear, all of the Midians are oppressing us, turned into him turning his back on God. Where is God in this moment? If God is so good, why doesn't he show up? "I've heard all the stories," he said. Remember in the text it says, "Listen, I've heard all from my dad and from my grandpa about how he rescued us out of Egypt. I've heard all the stories." But where is God in this moment? Things have been devastating for Gideon and his family and the people of Israel. And their circumstances dictated their faith. They said, "Listen, the circumstances all around us seem to see that God has left us. He's abandoned us," was the word. Where is God in this? 7 years, we've been hiding away in cliffs, food being stolen from us, livestock being stolen from us. Where is God in all of this? Our current day reality, Gideon would say, is dictating our faith and our trust in God. "We know you've saved in the past. Save us now." Here's the problem. Gideon failed to recognize that it was partly Israel's problem. In fact, it was wholly Israel's problem. God had not left Israel. God had not abandoned Israel. In fact, God is calling Israel back. But Israel had left God. Israel had walked away from the living God. It says they had done evil in the sight of the Lord, and they had followed after idols. They had worshiped the idols of false gods. And here God is coming to restore them and save them. I think it's so practical for us today. As many of us may be asking, God, where are you in all of this? I believe God would come alongside us and say, turn your faces to me, love me, follow me. I will build something inside of you. I'm creating, listen, I'm creating mighty warriors. You're walking through a season of difficulty and you're being challenged and you're being stretched in so many ways. But listen, I'm doing something inside of you. Maybe some of you, he's calling back again, calling you to follow him and to trust him again, to turn your faces back to him again. We need to be mindful of this fear, that it doesn't turn into faithlessness. That is the opposite of what God wants in Gideon right now. God doesn't want to use these last 7 years for Israel of stretching and difficulties to turn them away from him. In fact, he wants them to turn back to him. The stretching in this season is not to turn us away from the living God, but to bring us back into the living God again. We can't let fear turn to faithlessness when God wants us to turn our fears into faith. Be mindful of where your heart is now in this season, because what God is doing in Gideon is raising up a mighty warrior. I believe that's true of the church today. He's raising up mighty warriors. And if we take it the wrong direction and we turn our fears into faithlessness, we'll miss out on what God has for us in this season of the church today. Listen to the Lord's response. I want you to hear what he says to Gideon in this moment. Gideon has just said, you've abandoned us, God, you've abandoned us. I want you to hear that God doesn't even answer Gideon's question or his problem. Where is God? He doesn't even answer it. Instead, he looks past all of that faithlessness and listen to what he says in verse 14. The Lord turned to him, Gideon, and said, boy, you don't even know who you're talking to. No, he didn't say that. He did say this. He says, go in strength you have, and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Let's read that again. Here's what he says to Gideon in this moment of weakness in Gideon. Where's God? Where's God? This is what the Lord says to him. Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? God looks past that fear and he's going to see in Gideon faithfulness. At some point, he's going to strengthen him for his call. He says this, go in the strength that you have. How much strength in this moment does Gideon have? He's in a wine press. He's hiding away even just to get a little food for his family. He must not feel very strong at all. What is he bringing to the table? What does Gideon have to offer in this circumstance? In fact, his faith is lacking. He's even said, I don't even think God is with us. He's abandoned us. He has no hope. And God says, listen, bring what little strength you do have. Bring that to the table. Even if it's small, bring it to the table. And in verse 14, listen to what God says. He says, am I not sending you, Gideon? What little strength you have is okay because I am the one who's sending you. I am the creator. I am the sovereign God. I am the King of kings. I am the Lord of lords. I am the one who is sending you. When you don't think you can, I will. When you think it's impossible with the strength that you have, I will be your strength. You can take what little strength you have into battle, and I will be your strength. I will be the one that comes beside you and strengthens you for what you need. Here's what mighty men and women warriors know. Here's what they've, or I should say, here's what we are learning. When we don't have the strength, we grab hold of God's strength. Listen, here's what we're learning as warriors in this season of the church. When we don't have the strength, we grab hold of God's strength. When my faith is weak, I hold tighter to God's strength. We are not mighty women, mighty men, warriors on our own. We're not. But it is God who strengthens us. In fact, that's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, do you know who's sending you into battle, Gideon? Do you know who's going to call you according to my good purposes? It's me, the living God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Paul knew this. in Philippians 4:11. Here's what we read. It's on your screen. Philippians 4:11. Paul was a mighty warrior in the New Testament church. And here's what he says. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know how everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Listen to how he knows how to do all that. Here's the mighty warrior. Here's what he's found out. I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. I can go through anything. I can walk through whatever God calls me to walk through. Not because, Paul would say, because I'm a mighty warrior. Not because that I figure out some tools and some tricks of the trade. No, no, no. He closes off. He says, I can do all things. I can live in any stage or any season of life with a lot or with a little because Christ is the one who strengthens me. And I believe that's the same thing our living Heavenly Father is telling Gideon in this moment. Listen, take what little strength that you have hiding away in a wine press. Take that, bring it with you, and I will come beside you and I will give you the strength that you need. This, in fact, is what faith is. It's trusting God despite what is happening all around us, despite our circumstances, despite not being able to see the next step. Does that bother anyone? Like it bothers me. I love to plan things out. And in this season, it's every step at a time. Trusting God when you don't have strength. Trusting that He will be your strength. He will create in you that mighty warrior. The question is, will we be these sorts of men and women in this season? With all that is going around us and in our country and around the world, actually, who's going to decide to live by faith? Who's going to decide to walk out this season in faith? What will the story of this season for us as men and women, people of God, the church, for our families be? Will it be a faith increase and we grow and maybe take little steps in becoming these mighty men and women of God? Will we walk through this season in faith or will we cower back? Will we fall back? Will our fear turn into faithlessness? My prayer for the church is that we would be strengthened in this season, that we would grow as we turn our attention to the Lord who says, I will be with you. Do you know who's sending you? He says to Gideon. Do you know who's there with you? When it feels like our strength has been zapped, when maybe some anxiousness is stewing inside of us, when our rhythms have been messed up, our finances have been messed up, will we turn our attention to the Lord? That's what men and women of God will do. They'll turn their attention to the Lord. And God says, I will strengthen you. I will be there with you. Then Gideon, I can only imagine, we could relate to this next thing that Gideon says. He is so relatable. One of the reasons why we love Gideon so much is he is so relatable. He says this, look at verse 15, Judges chapter 6, verse 15. God says, listen, I want to make you a mighty warrior. He says, God has abandoned us. How could you make us into a mighty warrior? I have all these questions. And God says, listen, take what little strength you have. Take that little bit of strength you have. I will stand beside you. I am the one that's calling you. Then Gideon responds with this, verse 15. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. And I am the least in my family. I love Gideon because he's already come up with excuses of why this won't work, God. Oh, you must have me mistaken for someone else, right? I'm the one in the wine press. Do you see where you found me? I'm the weakest. I'm the least. Based on my family of origin, based on my economic status, based on my positioning in my own family, why would you choose me? Gideon has all these excuses. Maybe you have all these excuses already. If you listen to this message, you've already begun to come up with reasons why, well, I don't know that I'm a mighty warrior. I don't know if God is going to be the one that he's not going to use me. What would he use me for? Maybe you have all those reasons already laid out in your mind. You're just like Gideon. We are just like Gideon. I don't have anything to offer anyone. I'm not financially set. My faith is weak. Actually, Jeff, my faith is weak. I'm struggling right now. Maybe I've bought into some fear. Maybe I'm wrestling with some fear. I'm not that mighty warrior. You're just like Gideon. In so many ways, Gideon says, listen, there's so many reasons I could think I'm not the mighty warrior you're calling me to be. But here's what I love about our Lord. God takes what is weak and makes it strong through faith. God takes what is weak and makes it strong through faith. Listen to what the Lord says in verse 16. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down the Midianites, leaving none alive. Listen to what the Lord says. He says, Gideon, I see your list of excuses. I see all the reasons why you're not the perfect fit for a mighty warrior. But know this, I will be with you. And here's the big picture. I will use you powerfully against Israel's enemies. I will use you to lead my armies against Israel's enemies. Think about what that meant to Gideon in that moment as he's sitting afraid in the wine press. How in the world are you going to take me from the wine press to leading armies against Israel's enemies that's enslaved us in some ways over the last 7 years? We've had no hope. We're faithless. How in the world are you going to take me from the wine press to the battlefield? How are you going to use me? I don't see it. God says, listen, Gideon, I will be with you. I have called you and I will sustain you for this season for the reason of my name being glorified and you being lifted up. You will be a mighty warrior in this uncertain and troubled times. Listen, again, so important for us to realize, not because Gideon is so great, not because he is a mighty warrior, not because he's at the top of his family. You see that? God chose somebody who was the weakest of his family. Not because he's the biggest or the best of Israel. Here's why. Simple equation. Take what little strength you have and add it to the living God who is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and you have power. Listen, you will become this person because of these four words, I am with you. Because I am with you. The reality is true throughout all of Scripture. We see oftentimes God taking what is the weakest or the humblest, and he elevates it and he lifts it up and he strengthens it so that at the end his name is glorified, his name is lifted up. As we exercise faith, the same will be true of us. The same will be true of the story they tell about the church. That they may be the smallest, but they're going to grow in their faith and their strength in him, and he will be glorified and he will be lifted up, and their faith will increase in enormous measures. In this moment of recognition of our weakness, maybe you're sensing that, you're feeling that now, even in your own life, you're feeling weak, you're feeling like Gideon in the winepress. I would say turn your attention to the Lord. He would say to you four simple words, I am with you. I am with you. I've got a purpose for you. I didn't change my mind when you came up with those 10 reasons you can't be a mighty man or woman warrior for me. I didn't change my mind. I still am calling you to that. We're going to work through that together. And maybe this is that refining season for you to grow in your faith, to put away any stronghold that maybe you had in your life. Maybe this time and this season has caused you to focus in on maybe some things that you were focusing on before we went into quarantine. Maybe there's some things that have popped up in your life that you felt like, man, I used to spend a lot of time doing that. Or maybe that had my attention. That was robbing my attention away from the living God. And now I'm seeing it more and more clearly. And I want to get rid of those strongholds so I can be that mighty man or woman of God, that warrior he's calling me to be. And maybe this season is a refining fire in your own heart, in your own mind, of those things that you once held so tightly onto. And God is using this season to say, walk away from those things and instead walk with me. Those things aren't solving your fears and your anxieties and your worry. Instead, turn your attention to me. Now, I'm going to close off our time with Gideon here, but I thought we have this unique opportunity. You and I have this unique opportunity because you're not here. None of you are here. And you're not going to rush to your cars here in a minute. and get in your car and on your way home, do an errand and then maybe get lunch at some point. And you're not doing any of that this morning. In fact, you're home. And so I thought it'd be really cool if instead of me closing off the account of Gideon, you closed off the account of Gideon. It's Judges 6 through 8. Judges 6 through 8. We've already gotten through most of 6. Close off 6. Read 7 and 8, and you will see more about who Gideon is and what God is going to do in Gideon. It's actually quite exciting. I think you'll enjoy the read. But here are two questions I want you to answer as you're reading through the rest of Judges 6 and 8, 6 through 8. Here's the two questions. What are areas Gideon still shows a lack of faith? What are areas that Gideon still shows a lack of faith? You're going to see him. It's going to be so clear as you see these. Just jot them down. Here's what I love about that, is that God is gracious to Gideon. He is so gracious to Gideon. He doesn't come against Gideon. In fact, he allows from some testing even. And so I would say this, what are areas, answer the question, what are areas Gideon still shows a lack of faith? Second, what are ways God tests Gideon's fear and lack of faith to bring out the mighty warrior? What are ways God tests Gideon's fear and lack of faith to bring out the mighty warrior? What is God going to ask? In fact, in the end of verse 6, or chapter 6, you're going to see he's going to have to do something really hard right off the bat. That he's going to have to do something that's going to cause him to have to really trust God a lot. God isn't done with Gideon. God is still moving Gideon into that place of being a mighty warrior. I want you to see what he does as he starts to refine Gideon. And I believe in this season, in your life and in my life, he's doing some refining. He's calling us to be those mighty men and women, but it's not always easy. Sometimes we're tested, and he tests Gideon to get him to that place. What if, as we close, what if in this moment and in this season, what if we sought as the church on our knees, humbly broken before him, to say, who are you calling me to be in our world? Who are you calling me to be in this season and in our world? With my family, with the nation around me, with my neighbors, who are you calling us to be? I believe he's raising up mighty warriors. Now, for now, yes, absolutely. But for the time to come, he's raising up men and women of faith. What if when I feel like I'm not able to do it, I committed myself to turning my heart over to the Lord, my mind over the Lord, and I sought him? What if in those moments where he's strengthening and stretching me in this season, I don't know. I just turned it over to the Lord and I said, God, you need to minister to me. Not those things I used to run to. Instead, I'm going to run to the Lord and he's going to minister to me. Last thing, what if the church said, we will not turn fear into faithlessness? What if we committed to say, listen, I'm not going to turn this fear into faithlessness. In fact, I'm going to turn fear upside down, and I'm going to use it as an opportunity to grow in my walk with the Lord. When the fear and the anxiety start to attack, I'm going to turn it over to the Lord, and I'm going to grow in this season. My family, maybe my roommates, whoever I'm living with, we're going to grow in this season. We're not going to let fear reign. Instead, we're going to grow in our faith, because I believe at the end of this, God is building a bedrock foundation for the church of men and women who grew in this season and became out the other side as mighty men and women that he will use as warriors for his good name and for his purpose and for his glory. Let's pray. God, you are good. You are gracious. Lord, we don't deserve it. Lord, we need your mercy and grace, but we turn our attention this season over to you. God, would you just restore? Lord, you heal? Lord, would you just, in this season, build your church strong, Lord, stronger than ever before as we walk through the fire. Would you build the men and women, young and old, that make up your church? Would you strengthen us for this season? And Lord, would you refine us and grow us and strengthen us like you did Gideon? Lord, calling him out of the wine press and just to label him, you are a mighty man of God. You're a mighty man of God. Even if you don't feel it, I'm calling you this, mighty man of God. Would you do that in the church in this season? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I love that last thing, Jeff, as you called us to bring this into our families. Listen to it again as we close with a song. Which is all about these hard times that we live in. Comes right out of the book of Psalms. I think it's chapter 46. But listen to this from Isaiah one more time. For the mountains may move and the hills disappear, but even then my faithful love for you will remain. My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord who has mercy on you. His faithful love for you remains. Yesterday, I was sorting through a stack of stuff on my desk at home, and I ran across, some of you might remember these black wristbands. Maybe 10 years ago, we called it Project 818, and Project 818 goes to Isaiah 818, where again, God had already spoken to Isaiah and said, hard times are coming for the north and the south, for Israel, as before they'd been taken away into captivity. And it's going to come for the south too, because of the fact that they had turned their backs and mocked God and insulted God. And God will not be mocked, and he brought judgment. But Isaiah stood up, gave his two sons weird names that really meant strong things. And he said this, like Jeff is saying today, as for me and my house, this is Isaiah's version of it. He said, here am I and the children that the Lord has given me. We will be for signs in Israel during this disaster. And so whether it's the 7 years of oppression that Gideon experienced or the 7 years of severe famine we've been studying about in Genesis, read ahead, Genesis 44 and 45 will be in those passages on Wednesday night, or the seven fierce enemies that were bigger and badder than Israel. We have a God that we lean on. We've wondered, one of the things, the questions that go around our circles of pastors are, how are people doing? We know that you're standing in faith. We know that you're serving God. We know you're seizing opportunities. So in this day, I want to close with this song. You don't need to stand, but please, wherever you're seated right now, sing out with your heart. See the words on the screen, and let's sing it.
End of the earth, I will cry out to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, I will cry out to you. Oh, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, lead me to the rock. Oh, the rock higher than I.
Let's sing that again. From the ends of the earth.
From the ends of the earth, I will cry out to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, I will cry out to you. Oh, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Higher than I. Oh, lead me to the rock. Oh, the rock that is higher than I.
Father, you made me. You know every part.
Father, you made me. You fashioned every part. You're the lifter of my head. Come and heal my heart and lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Father, lead me to the rock. Oh, the rock that is higher than I.
Let's sing, your ways are higher.
Your ways are higher than mine. Your thoughts are wiser than mine. Your strength is greater than mine. Your love is deeper than mine. Oh, lead me to the rock. Oh, the rock that is higher than I.
Father, lead me.
Father, lead me to the rock. Oh, the rock that is higher than I.
Now sing, Jesus, you're the rock that is higher.
Lord Jesus, you're the rock. You're the rock that is higher than I.
Grace and peace to you in the strong, strong name of Jesus Christ. He will hold you. He is that rock that is higher. When the mountains move and when the hills crumble, he'll never crumble. His faithful love endures forever. Lord bless you. Keep shining his light into a dark world. We'll see you again here online at many, many times throughout the week. God bless you. Grace and peace.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free my heart.